It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. As Megan Kimball described, eating unprocessed food put her more in tune with her body and how much she needed to feel satisfied and not hungry. Dana Sturdivant is the co-founder of Be Nourished, a company that facilitates groups to help women let go of their food and weight obsessions. Sturdivant says many people have to go through a process of recognizing what works for their own bodies.
In terms of intuitive eating, which is the approach that we advocate for, you know, we're born as intuitive eaters. We're born into this world very connected to our hunger cues and our fullness cues. And we start to receive messages from the culture and our parents pretty early on that moves us away from that knowledge that we're born inherently with. So it's like it's time to eat as an example versus am I hungry? Is my body telling me I need to eat? So there's part of that. I think there's a pretty intimate connection to our bodies when we're born. But as we develop and grow, we kind of lose that connection. And so, it depends. I think some people can maintain that connection to some degree. My clients have tended to be people who've chronically dieted and weight cycled for, you know, since the age of 12, 13. And for somebody who's that disconnected with from their bodies, we start to connect them by noticing how their body shows up for them every day, you know, in this culture that tends to think that thin means healthy. And so when we're all wrapped up in that, we tend to be more concerned with what our bodies look like and disconnected from how they show up for us every day.
Do you think dieting has been or should be seen in a pejorative sense?
Yeah, I think we live in a culture that really believes that we can look at somebody and know if they're healthy or not. And they might be cosmetically fit and in the best shape of their life in terms of cosmetic appearance, but we don't know what they're doing in the name of that. And I think people tend to do a lot of things that are emotionally and mentally harmful for themselves in pursuit of the thin ideal and this body shape and size that we consider to be healthy.
Do you think there are enough opportunities in our everyday world for people to make really good choices if they're in tune with their bodies or if they feel confident about the decisions they're making?
Life makes self-care really challenging. And when we talk about self-care at Be Nourished, we talk about it from a weight-neutral standpoint and in a compassionate standpoint. And we try to keep the lens wide because I think when people think about, especially when we're just interested in cosmetic fitness, it's what do you eat and how much do you move? Well, when we look at self-care through a wider lens, we're looking at relationships, we're looking at do you get fresh air, we're looking at what's your sleep like, how are your boundaries with people, are you able to say no, what's your alcohol intake, you know, all of these things, do you have support in your life? The lens gets really wide here to think about self-care. And I think when we focus on nutrition, we go into this really narrow view. And then there's this rigid and perfectionistic thinking about it. You know, we live in a culture that tends to believe that one eating episode has the power to heal or kill you. We're also really focused on helping people develop sustainable healthcare practices, not just what the whole 30 for 30 days, and then day 31 is, you know, the screw it plan. I made it through the 30 days. Now I'm going to go binge.
Well, based on what you said about the so-called screw it aspect of things, it made me think of the word cheating, which seems like such a loaded word anyway. Like I'm on a diet, but I have a cheat day, or I cheated and now I feel terrible about myself. When you hear that word in context of food, what do you think of?
I say, who says so? First of all, who says you've cheated? I think when we have really rigid rules about what we can and cannot do with food, it's really easy to cheat. I was just on vacation, actually. I was noticing how, you know, the way I eat on vacation is no different than the way I eat when I'm home. Like, I don't approach food. There's no, like, attitude like, I'm on vacation, I can do whatever, you know? It's like, I'm still aware of my hunger cues, my fullness cues, and I'm thinking about what sounds good and how, you know, how to balance things out. But there's, a lot of people see vacation as a time to cheat. And, you know, we don't, we really get rid of ideas of right and wrong in intuitive eating, good and bad, healthy, unhealthy, legal, illegal. We call it, we neutralize food and eating. We make the apple emotionally equivalent to the chocolate bar. And just, you know, because if you put in front of a 1-year-old a cupcake for the first time, that cupcake is like a foreign object. This kid is looking at the cupcake like, what is this? It's like they're an alien from outer space and they're looking at this, trying to decide, do I eat this or not? The food has no emotionally attachment to them until they learn that the cupcake has enhanced value. You know, all the adults at the party watching this kid with his first cupcake are way more excited about it than this 1-year-old. And the minute they throw it to the dog, all the adults dive for it because they know what the cupcake is. But the kid doesn't know. The kid, it's like an apple to the kid. And so, yeah, in terms of cheating, we really try to get away from that idea that we've, you know, it implies that we've done something wrong. And a lot of times when people feel like they've cheated, it triggers what we call the what the hell phenomena or the Last Supper mentality, where they're like, okay, I've messed it up. So I've messed, you know, if somebody has an eating indiscretion at, you know, noon, they're going to go, well, screw it, I've already messed it up, so tomorrow, you know. Or if it's a Friday, it might be Monday.
Was that something that came naturally to you, or did you really have to work at it?
My mom did cook, and we ate at home a lot, but we had a, you know, the bottom row of our refrigerator was full of Coke bottles. You know, I was given Lucky Charms for breakfast a lot, you know. So I was not raised in a particularly health conscious household, but I had access to food and a variety of foods, and we did eat fruits and vegetables, and I had enough to eat growing up. The reason why I started to change the way I ate is because, one, I was really curious about how my food choices affected the environment, and I got really interested in eating, a more whole foods kind of diet, like a, you know, minimally processed food diet. But that change came from a deeper place for me. It came from wanting to take care of myself, wanting to take care of the environment. It didn't come from me wanting to be morally superior to others. It didn't come from me wanting to change the size or shape of my body. It came from a deeper place, which is what we really try to help people do, is to change from a deeper place. When the life we're living today conflicts with what is important to us, that kind of change tends to have something to land on. And so many people are trying to make changes in their food and eating from this shame-filled place. And, you know, when change is rooted in shame, it doesn't stick.
Dana Sturtevant is one of the co-founders of Be Nourished. Dana, thank you for the time.
You're welcome.